You're listening to an audio resource of Boyce College, undergraduate school of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
If you have a Bible this morning, turn with me, please, to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, as you're turning there, let me just say thank you to Dr. DeWitt and the others who invited me to speak to you this morning. I absolutely, with all my heart, love this institution. And it's an honor to be able to preach God's word to you. Psalm 42, let's read the word of the Lord together. And by that I mean I'll read and you follow along with me. As a deer pants for flowing streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul within me. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, with a multitude-keeping festival. Now notice how the tone of the text changes a bit. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? See the agony? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All of your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning and we pray that you would open up our hearts to receive your word from this psalm about how your people have hope in pain. We have joy in pain because of what you have done for us in Christ. So, Father, I ask for help this morning that you would help me by your grace to share this word with clarity. For there are people in this room who are hurting this morning. Perhaps parents who have lost children. Children who have lost parents. Students who are struggling to make ends meet. Oh God, may we hear your word this morning from this text. And give me the grace to preach it. So breathe on this sermon, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Because of what God has done for us in Christ, Christians have joy even in pain. Because of the wrath-bearing cross and the victorious resurrection, Christians have hope in God even as we suffer in this life. I'll give you a few examples before we look at the text. In 1996, I was a 17-year-old unbeliever, and my classmate and dear friend, Mary Catherine Prater, plowed her car into a telephone pole in eastern Kentucky and consequently suffered a severe brain injury. And some friends of mine and I went to the hospital and watched our friend fight for her life, a fight that she would eventually lose. We walked into that room and we saw tubes coming out of her face. Her parents, however, Willie and Ella Prater, had a deep love for Jesus and a deep hope in God. And through the pain of watching their daughter lose her life, their hope in God radiated throughout that hospital and radiated throughout eastern Kentucky and drew many unbelievers, such as myself, to Jesus Christ. So I say it again, Christians have hope in God even as we suffer in this life. I'll give you a couple personal examples. 2013 for me and my family has been one of the most painful and yet one of the most joyful years of our lives for 1,000 different reasons, from the near death of one child to the death of another child. We have experienced pain and yet tremendous joy and hope because of what God has done for us in Christ. That's what Psalm 42 is about. It's about hope in God even as we suffer. The psalmist mentions hope more than once. Verse 5, he says, hope in God. And he does it again in verse 11, hope in God. And he tells himself to hope in God even as he's experiencing pain at the hands of his enemies. So here are two truths I want us to think about this morning. Number one, the psalmist is in despair. He's in turmoil within. And number two, he exhorts himself to hope in God. He preaches to himself to hope in God because God is his salvation. So number one, the psalmist is in despair. Let's look at some of the verses that highlight that truth. Back to 42, chapter 40, or Psalm 42, notice in verse 1. As a deer pants for flowing streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Well, it doesn't seem like that's very painful, does it? But as the psalm continues, we see he longs for God because he's distant from God. There's some kind of pain, physical pain, oppression from his enemies that's caused him to be in circumstances wherein he is distant physically from the people of God, and he longs to go back. He longs to go back to that place where he can lead the people of God to the house of God. So he says, as a deer pants for flowing streams of water, so I pant for you, O God. Notice verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Here's some pain. When shall I come and appear before God? And notice verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. Is this the cry of your heart this morning? Are your tears your food day and night? It's true for the psalmist. He's in agony. He's weeping. His pain leads to grief. He's in despair. He's longing to go back to the people of God, longing to lead them, and he can't. That brings suffering. So then he says in verse 4, notice verse 4, these things I remember. Well, actually, back up to verse 3. His tears say to him all day long, verse 3, where is your God? Now, verse 4, he begins to reflect about how good things used to be. He gives us a sense of what he's experiencing. These things, verse 4, I remember as I pour out my soul within me. Here's what he remembers. As he's suffering, he remembers how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to God's house. And he remembers, verse 4, joy. And he remembers songs of praise. His grief moves him to think about the good old days, doesn't it? How great things used to be. Are you there? Is that where you are this morning? Your pain is so real, so deep. It's aggravated because life used to be better. Life used to be good, perhaps, you're thinking. Life used to be joyful. Notice further his pain, his despair. I promise you, the sermon won't be this depressing the rest of the way. But it's pretty depressing. He's in pain, verse 5. So he asks his soul, he begins to preach to himself, why are you cast down, O my soul? I don't think he's asking the question because he doesn't know why he's in despair. He's in despair because of his suffering. And he tells us in verse 5, he's in turmoil. Why are you in turmoil within me? Notice further, verse 5, skip the next line and go down to the following line in verse 5. My soul is cast down within me. Notice his pain further, verse 7. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. Notice his suffering doesn't distract him from a high view of God's sovereignty. Notice that? Although his enemies are an agent by which he experiences pain, he ultimately knows God's the one doing this to him. And he says, God, all of your breakers, verse 7, all of your waves have gone over me. And then he's so bold in verse 9 to ask God, why have you forgotten me? Verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Don't you love the Psalms? They're honest. We would never pray that way in church. This is exactly how the psalmist prays. You feel that way this morning? God, you've forgotten me. Well, it's not true, is it? He hasn't forgotten you. But maybe in your soul, you're in deep agony and you feel as though he's forgotten you. That's where the psalmist is. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning, verse 9? Because of the oppression of the enemy, verse 10. You see his despair even further. As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries are taunting me. The psalmist loves God on the one hand. The enemies are oppressing him on the other hand. And they're saying, where's your God now? Where's Yahweh now? So you get the point. I don't want to depress you any further. But number one, the psalmist is in despair. He's in agony. But number two, and I'll give you some application in a moment, the psalmist has hope. And he, in fact, exhorts himself to hope in God because God is the author of his salvation. Notice verse 5. In the midst of this pain, in verse 5, you still with me? In the midst of this pain and despair, there's hope, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? All right, as I said earlier, he's not asking this question because he doesn't know why he's in pain. He knows why he's in pain. He's in pain because his enemies afflict him. He asks the question because he shouldn't be in despair because of his God. So he's then preaching to himself, so why are you in despair? And here's his sermon, verse 5, hope in God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. Trust in God. Soul, have a confident expectation that God will do what he promised. That's hope, isn't it? Isn't it? It's a good place for an amen. I hope UK wins the national championship this year, but they might not. That's not what the psalmist is talking about. The psalmist is telling himself, his soul, have a confident expectation that God will do what he said. He'll do it. Because he's God, verse 5. Hope in God. Why? Here's why. Here's the reason why the psalmist tells himself to hope in God. There's some theology behind this sermon, right? The reason is verse 5, I shall again praise him. Why? Because he's the God of my salvation. If you're suffering this morning, you're feeling pain, you're discouraged, why should you have hope? Because God has offered his son to absorb his wrath for your sin, and he raised him up so that you would live. That's why you should have hope. And in the midst of that pain and agony and grief and sorrow, there's unspeakable joy because of what God has done for us in Christ. He says it again in verse 11. He asks the question, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, because he is my salvation and he is my God. So here's some application. Number one, some application from this psalm. God uses pain. He uses a lot of things, but one thing he uses is pain to strengthen our hope in Jesus. You believe that this morning? Have you come to Boyce thinking that the ministry is all about comfort? It is not. It's about pain. You preach a Christ who has blood all over his face, right? And nails in his hand. You serve deacons who might hate you. You preach to people who might turn their backs on you. It's pain. And through that pain, the Lord strengthens your hope and your joy in Jesus. I mean, this is exactly what Peter says, isn't it? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here Peter in verses 3 through 12 tell these Christians who are suffering for their faith in Jesus. He exhorts them not to be less faithful, but to be more faithful as they suffer for their faith in Jesus. And the reason why he gives that exhortation in the letter is because he grounds the exhortation in God's great work for them in Christ in chapter 1. And because God has worked for them and on their behalf in Jesus, he's given them joy in their pain. Chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read down to verse 10 at 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And what is that living hope? Notice that word hope. What is that living hope? What is that confident expectation that God will do what he's promised? What is that? Verse 4, it's that inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. All right, there's hope in the first few verses, right? But here comes pain, verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. The trial, at least one of them, that grieved these Christians is insult for the name of Jesus. The trial was being reviled for the name of Jesus. And Peter says, rejoice in your pain because you have hope in God that's not grounded in your circumstances, but's grounded in the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep reading. Why do you suffer trials? So that, verse 7, the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. All right, stop. Why do you suffer? Well, we don't know all the answers to that, do we? But one reason is God uses our pain to strengthen our hope our confidence, our faith, so that we will be saved on the last day. Without your suffering, you could fall away from Jesus. You know that? So God does things like bring suffering into our lives. In my case, he does things like bring near death of a child or take another child as a means by which he keeps me, as a means by which my joy is made full in Jesus. A couple other verses in 1 Peter. Though, verse 8, you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So the application from the beginning is this. God uses pain to strengthen our hope and our joy in Christ. The second application from Psalm 42. When we suffer, we should ask God to take it away from us. Yes. Don't misunderstand me. When I pray, I don't say, God, take away my son. I don't pray like that. When I suffer, it hurts and I want it to leave. And I'm not saying, let's all go out this morning and find somebody to inflict pain on us. That's not what I'm arguing. That would be nonsense. What I'm saying is that when we suffer, we should ask God on the one hand to take it away from us, but on the other hand, we should ask him to use it to strengthen our hope. It's exactly what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Paul says in this section, in my view, chapters 5 through 8 is all about hope. Chapter 5, verse 1 down to verse 5, Paul says, 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, since we have been declared to be in the right by God by faith, because of what Christ has done for us, since God has given a verdict on our behalf of not guilty, because we're united to Jesus, because of that, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now here comes some hope. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in that. Why do we rejoice in that? We rejoice in it because, Paul goes on to say, verse 3, more than that, we rejoice in, notice the first word, pain. Isn't that what he says? Suffering. You expect him to say, don't you? We rejoice in hope because life is so easy. There's no death, no pain, no sickness, no theological controversy. Everything is just glorious. But it's not that. We rejoice in hope because, verse 3, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering, here it is, produces endurance. Verse 4, endurance produces character, and character, verse 4, produces hope. And hope does not, verse 5, put us to shame. Why? We're not going to be embarrassed by hope on the last day, and we're not going to be let down either. Because our hope is grounded in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Hope doesn't disappoint, verse 5, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Our hope in Jesus is certain even when we suffer because he's given us his Holy Spirit who abides in our souls and keeps us even when we suffer. So the second application is, when you suffer, absolutely plead with God, take it away. If you're sick, pray and go to the doctor, right? But also ask the Lord to use your suffering to strengthen your hope. And a third application, and I'm finished. A third application from the text is this. When we suffer, we should preach to ourselves the gospel. Isn't that what the psalmist does? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. You should be worn out every day because you preach sermons to yourselves. And those sermons could be as short as hope in God or God so loved the world. You doubt God's love for you? Preach to yourselves John 3:16, right? Has God given you a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet you, to keep you from exalting yourself? Well, preach to yourselves verses that remind you of God's goodness even when you suffer. Preach to yourselves. Are you fighting against sin? We all are fighting against sin, aren't we? Are you struggling with sin this morning? Preach to yourselves verses that remind you that in Christ Jesus, you can conquer the power of sin. Now, we're not talking about perfection, are we? But we are saying that if you are in Jesus, God has liberated you from the power of sin, and you need to preach verses to yourself that move you to conquer sin daily. Verses like Romans chapter 6. Are you struggling with doubt? Do you doubt the gospel? Are you like I am? Sometimes you really wonder if you're justified by faith because you are so aware of your sin. And the devil comes and uses that doubt as a means to push you away from Jesus. If that's the case, preach to yourselves verses that remind you that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Preach to yourself verses that remind you that God has absorbed your wrath in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I repeat it. When you suffer, preach to yourselves. Preach to yourselves Romans chapter 8. I just want to end my sermon by referring to Romans chapter 8. Verses 18 to 39. Once again, this section of Romans is about hope. It begins with hope, as we saw earlier, and it ends in hope. When you get to Romans 8, verse 18, Paul says, I consider, 8:18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Oh, really, Paul? When I think about my pain, it seems pretty bad. Oh, it is bad, Paul would agree, but it doesn't compare with the glory that's coming. What's the glory that's coming? Well, here you go. Here's the glory that's coming, verse 18 or verse 19. The creation awaits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. What does that mean? Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, here's the word, in hope, in confident expectation that God's going to do something through Abraham for the world. He's going to save his people. He's going to liberate them from the power of sin and death. And we're waiting that day. That's our hope. That's our confidence. He goes on and says, verse 22, for we know that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning and in agony together in pains of childbirth until now. Do you feel those pains? I feel them. Literally, I feel them. I'm 35 years old, and I feel like every year I'm falling apart. Backs, knees, everything. That's what you have to look forward to, those of you who are young. Death. Right? Death. But death is not the end. The end is hope. The end is hope. As you'll see here in a moment. Verse 23. And now, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we await eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We groan, why? Because we want so deeply to be close to Jesus, and yet we know we aren't where we ought to be. Because we're decaying spiritually, physically. Our inner man's being renewed day by day, but physically we're falling apart, and sometimes the flesh affects the way we go after God. And we are awaiting our hope. What's our hope? Final eschatological justification, redemption, new heavens, new earth. We're waiting for that day. It's our hope. Keep reading. Verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. My friends, parents who buried their daughter the day before Easter Sunday, the reason why they were able to preach the gospel to us in their pain, the reason they were able to express their joy in suffering, is because of this great hope they have in Jesus. Keep going, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray. Notice he doesn't say we don't know how to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray. But when we suffer, and that's the context, we don't know what to pray. No, I don't know what to pray. Sometimes you suffer so much, you open your mouth and nothing comes out, except moans. We don't know what to pray, verse 26, as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Why do we have this hope in suffering? Because the Spirit and God and Jesus, as we'll see in a moment, are working out even our prayers or our prayerlessness for God's glory and for our good. Verse 28, you love this line, don't you? And so we know that all things work together for the good for those who know God. Well, certainly we know. Why? We have hope. And number two, as we'll see in a moment, because God is sovereign. He works all things together for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. Why? Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he's predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. Why do we have hope in pain? Brothers and sisters, because God's sovereign hand chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world so that we would be holy and blameless even as we suffer in this life. Well, I could go on. You get the point. But let me just say, if this is true, who's against us? Verse 31. Everybody. But who's against us if God is for us? Verse 31. Notice verse 39. And then I'll finish with prayer. Actually, let's read 37 or 39 for context. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. And let me add, not cancer. Not the death of a child. Not theological controversy. Not the economy. Not terrorists. Nothing can ever strip us from the love of God that we have in Jesus. Why? We have hope, baby. It's grounded in the cross and the resurrection. We'll be able to separate us, verse 39, from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The psalmist is in pain, but he preaches to himself to hope in God. So why are you downcast, oh my souls? Why are you disquieted within us? Brothers and sisters, hope in God, because he has done great things for us in Christ. And nothing this world throws at us, not even the devil himself, can alter the certainty of that hope. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us this morning to hope in you. And we pray for those in this auditorium, Lord, who are suffering. real pain. Father, we ask that you would grant them the kind of joy that only comes from your sovereign hand. And we pray that through this suffering, their hope in Jesus would be greater than ever. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this gospel-centered resource from Boyce College. Please visit us online at boycecollege.com.